The Pastons had got over all these bumps in the road to become a settled presence in their county. And that would be true for countless other Englishmen and women just like them. Essentially, they were survivors. They'd survived the plague, they'd survived dethronement, they'd survived civil war. Kings came and went, but the men of the village, the same sort of men who'd marched on London in 1381, who'd been revolutionaries and desperados, were now on their way to becoming squires of the village. People like this knew what the worst could be. They knew that the plague could come and carry off babies and children. They knew that the knights from over the hill might go on a rampage. But they also knew that with an equal measure of prudence and prayer, they would get through it. So come to an English village like this, far from the mayhem, say around 1480, and you'd see what you'd expect. A church built in the economic elegance of the Perpendicular style. For the first time, a village alehouse with a name like the Swan or the Frog. And at the heart, a grand and handsome dwelling for the biggest tenant farmer in the area. No longer just a Wattle and Daub single-room glorified hut, but a miniature manor with its own hall and servants to wait on the master and mistress. A buttery, a cellar, and private retiring chambers. One shouldn't be too complacent about the condition of Britain at the end of its first century of plague. The end of the road through trauma was not all buttercups and beer. There was still grinding poverty alongside plenty. But all the same, the improbable had happened. Out of the fires of pestilence and bloodshed had emerged that most unlikely example of survivor, the English country gent.